Shalom Aleichem. For Parshas Kedoshim Ulamircha Hashem have six Divrei Torah after a quick overview of an action-packed Parsha full of amazing mitzvah. Starting at the beginning of the Parsha, the Kodesh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, say to Klal Yisrael Kedoshim to you, you need to sanctify yourselves because the Kodesh Baruch Hu is Kodesh. As Kodesh Baruch Hu is holy, Klal Yisrael needs to be holy as well. And then it says examples of being holy. Fear your parents, be in awe of your parents, and keep Shabbos. And it continues talking about when you bring korbanos, the person bringing it has to have the proper thoughts, and certain types of gifts to the poor called peah. We'll talk about it a little bit later, and being honest in your business dealings and other dealings with other people. V'ahavta l'recha kamocha is in this week's parsha, and then it talks about kilayim, shatnez, not having certain mixtures in our garments and other types of mixtures, having proper weights and measures. This is all about honesty. For example, somebody who bills others, an attorney in accounting, billing for your time. Do it honestly. And various punishments, etc., etc. And at the end of the parsha, the land and immortality, and also holiness and kashrus. Let's go all the way back to the beginning of the parsha. It says, Kedoshim tiyu ki kadosh ani Hashem Elokeichem. You should be holy. The Ibn Ezra says as follows. If you go back to last week's parsha, Acharei Mos, it talks about promiscuity, illicit relationships between people. And it does say there that don't do, talking to Klal Yisrael, don't get involved in promiscuity. This is what was done by those who were living in the land of Israel, of land of Canaan. It was called Canaan at that time. And accordingly, they were expelled from the land because of the arayas, the promiscuity. Klal Yisrael, don't do that. You need to stay above that. And it could be easily understood that all we have to do in order to merit living in the land is to avoid those negatives that were done by those living in Canaan before us. Avoid the promiscuity, and we're done. That's all we need to do. Sur Meira, that's all we need to do is avoid the negatives. But truth be told, comes to this week's Parshas Kedoshim, it tells us that is not enough. To merit living in the land of Israel, we have to imbue ourselves with holiness. How do we do that? For example, Shmirah Shabbos, keeping Shabbos. Ish imo v'aviv tiro, fear, awe of one's parents. In fact, Chazal tell us, L'charva Yushalayim elevshiv shechilu l'abaster Shabbos. Yushalayim was destroyed because they were profaning the Shabbos, and also because there was a lack of kibud avem, of yiras avem. And accordingly, what this is telling us, the comparison or the smichus, side by side, that we right after last week's parsha talking about the promiscuity, avoid that, but that's not enough. Comes this week's parsha, Parshas Kedoshim, say, but you have to not only do sur meira, asay tov, you have to do good as well. You have to keep the mitzvahs. And accordingly, if we want shalom, if we want bitachon in Eretz Yisrael, we need to sanctify ourselves with the mitzvahs. Not only Bein Adam LaMakom, also Bein Adam LaChaveiro. They are both critical, as we see in this week's parsha, talking about both. But very prominently, Bein Adam LaChaveiro, V'avta L'recha Kamocha. This is all what is necessary in order to ensure having bitachon and shalom in Eretz Yisrael. We are now moving forward to Dvar Torah number 2 on the same pasuk. We don't have to go any further from the pesukim. Same pasuk, Kedoshim Tiyu, Ishimo V'aviv Tiro. We have right next to each other, be holy. And also it says, Ishimo V'aviv Tiro, V'shab Sotai Shishmo. So we're going to have a couple thoughts. Two thoughts by the Sif Sei Kohen, not necessarily related it. So we'll call this Dvar Torah number 2. But it'll be 2a and 2b, because we're going to get two thoughts out of the Sif Sei Kohen. The first goes as follows. If we look at the language, Kedoshim Tihiyu, very interesting language. More typical, we would think, is Heyu Kedosh Kedoshim, Hevu Kedoshim. You should be a command. You need to be Kedoshim. You need to sanctify ourselves. And that would mean only that there's an obligation. We are a tzivoy, we're obligated to be holy. But this language, Kedoshim Tihiyu, says the Sif Sei Kohen, has two meanings. Number one, yes, it's a tzivoy, an obligation. We need to be kadoshim. But also, it is a promise to us. It's a promise. What does that mean? What's going on here? So he says as follows. Oftentimes in life, things happen that maybe we don't have a choice. Something pops up, something we shouldn't be looking at. We're walking around along the street, and somebody who's improperly clad, and we don't want to look, but she just came around a corner or something like that. Or we hear somebody speaking evil. We don't want to listen to it, but it comes up. And so many times in life, things come up that we don't want to have exposure to, but we do. And the pasuk is coming to teach us that if we make efforts to sanctify ourselves and to prevent ourselves from looking at things we shouldn't be looking at and listening to things that we shouldn't be listening to, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will assist us from heaven. This is the haftacha, this is the promise. So he said it means two things. Kadoshim to you, number one is, it's Yivoy, we have to sanctify ourselves, we have to put in the efforts, but also it is a haftacha that is, we are putting in the efforts, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will facilitate our becoming holy people. As it says, Chazal tell us, Adam Mekadesh Asma Milamata, we sanctify ourselves below, Mekachin Oso Milamala, we will be sanctified from above. That's a Gemara. Numalam Tesamud Aleph. And what it's saying is, when we put in the efforts below, that's the Tzivoy, then the Haftacha is that will be facilitated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why it's the language Kadosh Kim to you. It has that dual understanding, that dual meaning, the Tzivoy, we're obligated, but it's also a promise from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to facilitate that becoming holy. Next point, this is Dvar Torah 2b, continuing with the Sifsei Kohen, he says, if you look at the language, Ish Imov Aviv Tira, talking about that we should have Yira of our parents, it's an interesting language. He says, you don't even need the word Ish here, but even so, even if you need it, why does it say Ish, a grown man? Why doesn't it say a Na'ar, a young child? Or Yelet, whatever the language, the biblical language would be for somebody who's younger, a Na'ar. Why does it say Ish Imo V'Aviv Tiro? Somebody who's grown up, you have to have Yira Shemaim. So you have to have Yira of your parents. So why is it using that language at all? So he says as follows, we have an important remez, and it's not fascinating. We would think that it's saying to the child, even when you grow up, when you're have your own family, you have to have fear of your parents. He says, no. This is actually exhorting the parents. It is telling the parents a remiss. It's a remiss to the parents, telling them as follows, dear precious parents, you have been giving a child, a neshama yakara, a precious child, a young boy, a young girl, a son, a daughter. Don't think of them only as little infants. Don't think of them only as little children. Why? Because the years go by incredibly quickly. And within a short amount of time, this is going to be a grown-up. This is going to be an ish. It's going to be an isha. These are going to be grown people. And this is telling the parents that you have a tremendous responsibility. You have an achrayas. It is an awesome responsibility that we need to educate, even when they're young, maybe especially when they're young, but even when they're young, we have to have in mind, we're not only talking to an infant. We're not only talking to a young child. We're talking to somebody who is going to grow up and going to be independent, and they're going to have to fend for themselves. And we need to teach them accordingly the mitzvahs, that they're going to be able and be suited and have the ability to keep the mitzvahs by themselves. We have to educate our children to be able to be independently of the Hashem, including Shmira Shabbos, that they are going to have fear and awe of their parents. We have so many mitzvahs that we need to teach these children, and we need to imbue them with their values. And it's a very different view of a parent if we think that we're just raising a little child as opposed to we are raising a child, a son, a daughter, to be grown-ups, and they will be grown-ups, and they have to be independent people who are going to be able to adhere to the requirements of the Torah, to love the requirements of the Torah, to love the mitzvahs, and to imbue them with the values that we have, because they will be growing up and they will need to have their own independent values. And that's what it's focused on here. Ish, Imov Aviv Tiro, those parents, remember, this young child is going to grow up. Make sure that they have the tools that they will be successful when they themselves are a grown up. Moving forward to Dvar Torah number 3, Ish Imo V'Aviv Tiro. Again, we don't have to travel very far. Ish Imo, same pasuk we were just talking about. The Reishis Chochma says fascinatingly, this pasuk, if we look at the language, it doesn't say Tira Avaem, fear mother and father, father and mother. It doesn't say Tira Avaem. It says Ish Imo V'Aviv Tiro, your own mother. Your own father makes sure you have Yira. Fascinating language. So why does it say it like that? Why doesn't it just say, fear your parents, fear your parents, Tira Avayim? Why specifically my mother and my father? And he says as follows, if you think about your mother, it's not only telling you, you have to fear your mother because your mother. There is a mitzvah of Moraem. Regardless, whoever your mother was, you would have to fear her. But there's a second step to that, that think about your own mother. Think about all of the efforts that your mother put in to raise you. The tircha, all of the times that she was sleepless, staying up at night and assisting you and preparing for the next day for you. And all the worries that she had. And all the mesiras nefesh that she had. You have to think specifically, not only there's a chiyuv of Mora M, but there is a Mora Imo, my own mother. What did she do for me? And the same thing applies to father. How much tircha he put into me. And how hard he worked for Parnas in order to support the family. All the efforts that he put in. And that's why it says, Ish Imo Vavitiro. Yes, we have to fear, regardless of who the mother or father happened to be, we have to have Mora Avaim. But think specifically, even more than that, the next level, about my mother and my father, all of the subjective efforts that they put into me, and we have to be makir tov to them. And if somebody is not makir tov, Reishis Chochma, he says, that's kfuye tova. That is somebody who is an ingrate because he's not showing hakarasa tov for all the benefits, all the efforts that he was a recipient of. That's why it says, imo ve'aviv. Your mom, your dad, that's what we have to think about. Moving forward to Dora Torah number 4. This is one of the mitzvahs that are given, the mitzvahs that we have of the matanas anim, the various mitzvahs that we have to give things to anim. And there are a number that relate to the land when somebody is tilling the land, things that you forget in the land, leket, shicha, peah, etc. We're going to talk about specifically peah. The pasuk says we're now in Perek, Yud Tes, Pasuk Tes, this is Dvar Torah number 4. Uvekutrachem es kitziratzachem, when you are harvesting your field, lo techalep asadcha, don't cut down the peah, don't cut the corner. In other words, leave the corner there and let the anim come and harvest their own produce from your field. The Al-Shach asks a fascinating question. He says, this is interesting. Leave it for them. Why should you leave it for them? Wouldn't it be better for them if the Baal HaBayis, the owner of the field, goes in and harvests it for them and just gives them the produce itself? Why are you giving all the anim all the work to do as well? Cut it down for them, hand it to them. Wouldn't that be more beneficial than leaving it standing and leaving it for them to harvest? And he says, no. In fact, the Torah is telling the Baal HaBayis, the owners of the field, that in fact, you have to be sensitive to the anim. We don't want them to feel that they are coming and receiving a handout. We want them to feel that they're the Baal HaBayis. We want them to put in the effort. We want them to feel quasi-owners of the field, that I'm going in, I'm doing the work, I'm putting in the effort, and I'm harvesting. So they don't have to feel that they're getting a handout, but they can feel like an owner of the field. And that's why the official owner of the field, that person should in fact leave the peah, leave the corner standing for the anim to come and harvest it themselves, because they're going to feel much more gratified and they're not going to feel like they are receiving a handout. In fact, he goes on to say that if you look in this pasuk, uvekutzrechem es kitzirazachem, when you, this is talking about to the quote-unquote owner of the field, when you, uvekutzrechem, when you yourselves come and you harvest your field, you're the owner of this field. Are we really the owner of the field? It's really a Kaddish Baruch Hu that's giving all the tour, that's giving all the produce. It's a Kaddish Baruch Hu that's giving the bracha of parnasa to everyone. So the person who is quote-unquote the official owner, the document owner of the field, he has to realize that it's a Kaddish Baruch Hu who is giving him everything. And in fact, how does a Kaddish Baruch Hu do it? Not in an evidence way that it's coming from God, but in a very hester, a very silent, bederech teva way. It looks like it's natural. It doesn't look like we're getting handouts from a Kaddish Baruch Hu. The Kaddish Baruch Hu created that we could feel like the Baal HaBayis. We can feel like the owners of the property that we have. We can feel like the owners of the fields that we have, so we don't also have to feel that we're getting a handout. And just like a Kaddish Baruch Hu says, uvekutzrachem es kitzirazachem, you think it's your field, you think you own it, and a Kaddish Baruch Hu set it up that way, that it's our field, we feel it's our field, and we're receiving the parnasa via the work that we do in a derech teva, Of course, we have to realize it's a Kadosh Baruch Hu, but a Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want us to feel like as the owner that we're getting a handout, just as we as the owners don't feel we're getting a handout, we feel we're working the field. So too, when it comes to leaving the payah over, make sure that you leave it. Don't harvest it, leave it for them, because we want the anim, the poor, to have that very feeling that they are the balabais, they're not getting a handout. We want them to feel that it's really their own. And in fact, I saw a beautiful story along these lines. That story is told of Rav Yosef Chaim Zunenfeld, one of the gedolim of Eretz Yisrael in the prior generation, head of the Eda Charedis. And there was a time that a group of people, tourists, came from Chutz Laaretz. They came, knocked on his door. Erev Pesach, they knocked, and they said, "We'd love to come to your Seder." They didn't have a place, apparently. And he said, "Sure, you can come tonight." And they took out of their wallet some money and gave him money to pay for the food that they would be eating. Now, interestingly, Rav Yosef Chaim Zunenfeld, he took the money and he called his wife and he says, "Here, halach demei sudas orachim. Here you are, here's the money for this su'uda of the orachim. These guests are going to be coming. Here's the money that they're paying for the su'uda that they'll be having. Lel ha-seder, they're coming to us for the seder." So that's what had happened. The orachim, those guests, came. Lel ha-seder, they had a wonderful time being with the Rav. They ate the food, they participated. They had the su'uda together. And Chol HaMoed comes, and there's a knock on the door where they were staying. Rav Zunenfeld shows up, and he says, "Here's the money, here's the money." They refuse to take it. And Rav Yosef Chaim Zunenfeld says to them, "Did you really think I would take money for the mitzvah hachnasas orachim? Chas v'shalom, I should take money for it." So why did he take it? The question is, why did he take it erev chag? Coming into the chag, why did he take it? And why is he returning it now? He shouldn't have taken it to start with. So he said as follows. He says to them, he responds to them, "Ratzisi, I wanted it to be that you would have real hana'a shlema, that you would really benefit from the meal without feeling that you're taking a handout. I wanted you to feel as if you were eating your own food. There's more hana eating your own food than if you feel you are taking a meal, a handout from somebody. And accordingly, I took the money. I took the money erev Pesach, so you would come, Lel HaSeder, thinking we paid. I can really have enough from this meal. We don't have to feel like freeloaders. And here's your money back." And this is the same exact thing that we have for payah. Leave the payah standing. Let those anim feel that they're really tilling their own land, that they're really harvesting their own land. That's not really their own land, but make them feel that. Make them feel that they're not taking a handout. Moving forward to Dvar Torah number 5. Lo Selech Rachil Ba'amecha. This is in Perek Yutas Psukim Tes Zayin Yud Zayin. Lo Selech Rachil Ba'amecha. Don't be a gossip monger. This is the Isur of Rachilus going around. It's like one of the Isurim of how we speak. There's Lashon Hara, Rachilus. And then the next pasuk, it says, Lo Sisnas Achicha Bilvavecha. And don't hate your brother in your heart. So the question is, why does it say these two phrases or these two Yisurim pretty close to each other? It's in Psukim, back to back, the first one saying, don't be gossiping about people and don't hate somebody. So we could say very easily, don't gossip about people. You're being negative. And in fact, not only should you not be negative, don't hate him in your heart. Not only should you not evidence him how you feel about him when talking, but internally you have to change how you think about the individual. But the Ra'ashal, this is Rabbi Avraham Petel, says a different explanation why these two psukim are back to back. And he says as follows. This pasuk, the first pasuk, is telling us, Laseich lech rachil b'mecha, don't talk gossip about somebody. It's telling A, be sure, don't speak negatively, don't gossip about B. Because that's a terrible sin. It's a terrible sin just by speaking, but speaking negatively about him, that's a terrible sin. So A, don't engage in rechilus when it comes to B. But A, if you did do that, and you violated this iser, and you offended B, you spoke negatively about B, but A, you feel bad eventually, and you're coming to ask mechila from B, how should B act? Now you really feel bad. You feel bad. You blew it. Hey, you blew it. You violated Lo Selech Rachil B'Mecha. But now that you're coming to B and you're saying, I blew it. I made a mistake. I feel bad. Please forgive me. How should B act? That is the next pasuk. It says, Lo Sisna Achicha Bilvavecha. Make sure B, that you don't take retribution. Don't hate him. He really feels bad about what he did, but you should be mochel him because of that. Not but, and you should. Because you, he feels bad. A, feels bad and he's asking mechila. B, don't hate him. Don't have retribution. Don't have a vendetta against him. But be mochel him. Belev shalom with an open heart. And in fact, that's a binyan av. Somebody offends us and they really feel bad about it and they ask for mechila. Doesn't have to be rechilus. It doesn't have to be lashon hara. But whatever it is, and person really feels bad about it, he's not going to do it again. We should take the same approach. Lo sisna sachicha bavecha. He really wronged me. But we should have open hearts in order to be mochel that individual. Moving forward to Dvar Torah number 6, we have the pasuk, a famous pasuk, Mipnei Seva Takum. This is the mitzvah to stand up for somebody who is elderly. We paskin that it's somebody who is 70 years old, and there are some poskim who say 60 years old. Mipnei Seva Sakum Vadarta Pnei Zaken. This is pasuk, Perek Yud Tes, pasuk Lamabes. Honor the presence of a sage, so that there are a lot of halachas that are learned from this pasuk. The Chida says, in the name of Rabbeinu Ephraim, something different, a drash, a very interesting drash. If you have somebody walking by, an elderly individual, and you're sitting down, it says as follows, Mibnei Seva Takum, if the person is really elderly, you see an elderly person, he's walking by and he's weak, he doesn't have his strength, what should you do? Takum, stand up and offer him your place. Can be on the bus, it could be in shul, it can be anywhere. If you have somebody who is elderly and weak and frail and can use a place to sit, stand up and move and say, here's a place for you to sit. Don't only offer it when seated. Stand up, Mibnei Seva, Takum, get up, give your seat. However, if you see that there's somebody who is elderly, but he is not weak, he has his strength, Baruch Hashem, you aren't obligated to evict yourself from your seat and give him it, but what you should do is to offer your seat to him. And that's Vahadarta Pnei Zaken. Show honor in the presence of a sage, somebody who's elderly, of a Zaken. You don't have to get up, evict yourself, because you see he doesn't really need the seat. He's got his strength, but offer to him nonetheless. And if he agrees, then get up. If he refuses, then you continue staying seated. Now, that's assuming that there's not an obligation to stand because the person is 70 years old and you're less than that. So that would be the assumption. Otherwise, you have to stand up. But we could still say the same thing. When you see that there is a seva, somebody who is elderly and weak, make sure to say, here's your seat. And if it's somebody who's a zaken, somebody you have to stand, even if you have to stand up for him, but you don't have to offer your seat if the person has the strength. You don't have to evict yourself and say, here's your seat, please sit, but you should still offer it. That's the second clause. V'adarta b'nei zaken, please take my seat. I'm happy for you to take the seat. And if he says no, then you can continue seating there. Mirtz Hashem, we should have a kiyum of all these beautiful mitzvahs in this week's parsha and all the parshias, but this week's parsha, such beautiful psukim. Let's play close attention to the laning. So much to learn. Looking forward to seeing you next week. Thanks so much for listening.